Game week 31 isn't quite done, but 32 is near, so we are here. We reflect on the pain of not having Foden, the absence of Haaland and Saka, and nope, I've still not wildcarded. Hello, it's Thursday. Welcome back to the FPL pod. Yes, I know that the game week isn't quite complete. We've still got Liverpool versus Sheffield United and Chelsea versus Manchester United. But as you know, we're thinking of you. It's important for us to get to you as early as possible. And I think it's kind of the morning after the night before with three non-Foden owners, isn't it, Jules?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone. Yeah. Watching Haaland being on the bench, sometimes warming up, we saw him, and then getting some hope that he might come on for just even a few minutes and a goal or two. And then at the same time, seeing Foden scored another hat trick when you don't own him was quite painful, to be fair. But well done to people who have Phil Foden. Not so much to Ian Irving, obviously, who sold Foden. Or producer Jesse, who also let Foden go.
Yes, we had to mention Jesse earlier on.
Of course, Jesse.
Poor Jesse.
Sorry, poor Jesse. But well done to everybody who has him. I will explain later why I don't have him. And I think he's still a valid point. But last night, you know, it was obviously the star of the game.
I think the only positive for us not having Foden was Jules not having him, wasn't it, Sam?
Yeah, because I was sat on the sofa next to my husband who did own Foden.
And
Oh, does he have him?
Oh, no. Oh, that must
be horrible. I can't catch a break with either of them. Either one of them's got them and they kill me, or the other one does. It's just a nightmare at the moment. And also made worse by the fact that I don't have a bench this week because of the Lascelles injury and the Gordon red card. So when Haaland didn't come on at all, I was like, well, the worst thing that can happen, or the best thing that can happen here, is that I have 10 players this week. And I don't have Foden. So it feels like it's going to be a challenging one. But, you know, if my three Chelsea players go off tonight, then we'll be all right.
It says here at the top of the script, Sam writes us some little prompt notes. It says here, Kels, you never hit the wildcard button! Why? I liked my team again. I realised I could just do Watkins to Nunes. Well, I thought I could just do Watkins to Nunes because I had a bench. But a bit like you, Sam, I have got Anthony Gordon. Charlie Taylor will be coming in, the hero that is Charlie Taylor.
Legend.
I know you won't hear anything said against him.
No.
And I desperately need Malo Gusto to be fit tonight.
Me too.
Hindsight, probably should have wildcarded. It was a bit of a combination of not wanting, I think you said it to me last week somewhere, Kels, you're never going to do it before a round of midweek fixtures. It feels harder to do it before a round of midweek fixtures. I was very busy with life, with a child. And I just thought, actually, I'm happy with my team. And what started to come into play was, maybe I can wait until 35, which, typical me, was always going to kind of happen. But I am now swaying towards that way. So yeah, that's a long-winded way of saying I didn't wildcard, but probably wish I had.
You love leaving it till late, don't you?
I do, but it's now annoying me a bit. I wish I'd just gone when you guys had gone. I'm also doing it a little bit out of, you would keep telling me to, so I'm going to not do it, which is just pathetic, to be honest. And I'm watching my rank kind of fall / plateau all the time. Anyway, very quickly for you, Jules, before we will do a full review, by the way, of all of the fixtures very shortly, because there is no off the bench once again. But just talking about our teams, Jules, I thought maybe you were going to deal with Lascelles this week, but you actually chose to roll your transfer. What was the thinking?
Yeah, just to keep the two free transfers for this weekend, because I just thought, okay, Lascelles can go on the bench. It's okay. Gordon will be there too. And I've got Malo Gusto in case somebody doesn't play. And I think Malo Gusto is going to play. Yeah,
okay,
he will
good.
Play. I think he will start.
Hold on a sec. Are we going to believe Jules? Oh yeah, Saka's going to play.
No, I only told that to producer Jesse.
And the whole of the pod.
But Saka didn't play because he was injured. He's not being rested. He's not fit. It's different to Haaland, for example, who is fully fit and was dropped to the bench to be rested. Saka is different. But Saka might have been on the bench as well had he been fit. I don't know. I just thought you could not take that risk. But after that, I took it and it was fine. It worked out well for him. So Gusto will play. So I thought that was fine because I never thought neither Saka or Haaland would play at all in these midweek games, you know. So that's the only thing. 21 points so far. A really good Ait Nouri. Come on, Paris born and bred. A very good Saliba. Come on, Paris born and bred as well, obviously. And Madison, you can't trust the Spurs players anyway. So Poro and Madison, obviously, again, very average. Madison, even more worryingly and more seriously, coming off after 65 minutes again, which is not really good.
Not looking right at the moment, Madison, is he?
Did you think?
He doesn't look right. No, he doesn't look right.
I don't know.
He definitely hasn't looked right since he came back from injury. I mean, you're not going to hold him, are you?
Nah, definitely surely not. He's going to go at some point, for sure. For Foden, I think. Probably even this midweek. Mm. But yeah, 21 points with still five players to play. It's not too bad with hindsight.
No, it's not too bad. This is where how the mini league currently stands then. Eight Nori and Saliba, the Paris-born stars of your team so far. You need 15 more points for a green arrow. I need 14 more points. Zabani and Gabriel are the stars for me. Sam, for you, eight Nori and Saliba as well. Holland and Saka missing out means that at best, only 10 players this week. You could be down to 9. You also need Gusto to start. You need 13 more points, though, for a green arrow, which I think is doable. Ian, as you mentioned, Salt Foden. Double Arsenal defence did do well for him. He needs 19 more points for a green arrow. Ian's very grateful. I'm sure he's not on this pod this week. to bring you up to speed with how far apart we all are, 87 points I am behind Jules. I'm never going to get anywhere near, am I? Then Sam is now just 19 points behind me. Ian is still behind Sam, but it's very tight, 8 points. And that was live maths from me. If this pod's done anything, it may not have helped my FPL rank, but it has helped me doing mental maths. In terms of the overall FPL pod rank, Stefan is still top, but Awise has taken 2 points off his lead, meaning it's just by 6 points. Stefan's only had 9 players play so far. Awise has had 8. I am fully invested in the battle at the top between these two. By the way, they've both captained Salah as well. So let's go into game week 31 a little bit more and some of the key points. Newcastle Everton, I am annoyed. Sam, I bought in Nunes because I knew you had, but in FPL Challenge last week and this week, I had Isak. I want Isak. I think I want Isak over Gordon because of the options in midfield when I do eventually play my wild card. I wasn't brave enough and he returned again.
Kels, have you let me get in your head again?
Yep. You are literally constantly there and it's annoying.
Brilliant.
Me
yeah, I mean, I really did think about Isak as well, but it was the double thing that played in my mind with going for Darwin instead, because obviously he has the double in 34 where Isak won't have his until later. And I did worry a little bit about Isak without Gordon there in terms of Harvey Barnes. I said that last week. I thought that Harvey Barnes' selfishness might actually be to the detriment of Isak. Actually, you know, it wasn't. He returned. 5 goals in 4 matches for him is a really, really good run of form. And he seems to be holding that form as well, which is really nice. It's kind of interesting to me, isn't it? Because I think he will be one that a lot of us, like you did last week, look at and like I did last week and go, I'd really like to have him. But with Gordon already in my team, it's going to be difficult to find a spot in that front three, because there are players who double in that front line earlier that I'd rather have.
Yeah, that is tricky, isn't it? Another stat here, he's scoring a goal every 108 minutes this season. That is better than both Salah and Haaland. Yeah, I reckon we could see quite a few transfers in for him. More injuries, missing out again, Livramento, Trippier. Looks like Lewis Hall was also injured too. However, Hall did get the clean sheet and as a result got all 3 bonus points. Mm-hmm. So if he wasn't injured, probably a few people would be looking at him. Dominic Calvert-Lewin actually scored his 4th goal of the season in 20 matches. I don't think too many people are going to be looking at him given the breadth of options in the midfield. Very quickly, congratulations on the save point for Pickford, Sam.
He's on my bench.
Yeah, what a surprise.
That's probably a smart move. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a better fixture for Petrovic, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, his 22nd save point of the season. Forest versus Fulham. Well, it's a good job we don't have any Fulham defenders because they conceded 3 for the 2nd game in a row. Chris Wood has returns in each of his last 3 games. He's got 8, 8 and 9 points. But Morgan Gibbs-White is looking an interesting option there as well, isn't he, Jules?
Amazing. He had an incredible first half. I mean, the first half from a Forest point of view and Fulham were really bad to the point that Marco Silva made 3 changes after 33 minutes, which we've never seen, I think, ever in the Premier League. So we've seen early subs. Mourinho especially was quite used to do that. But three after half an hour, never. I don't think that was ever been done before. That's how bad Fulham went. That's how good, really, Forest were. And Gibbs-White was, I thought, outstanding. I mean, he's a very good player anyway. He's always been since he was very young. But at this level, to put a masterclass like that in the first 45 minutes, the goal is a great goal. The 1-2 with Danilo, the assist for Hudson-Odoi and all the work that he does before is wonderful. It's just great. The problem for Gibbs-White, and I guess he can be your 5th midfielder. If you have 4 very strong ones, it could be the last one. But as we've been saying all season, the midfield is so strong this season in the game that there might not be a space for him anywhere, really. And that's why he's still quite low owned, considering how good he is and how good he's been so far this season in the game and in real life. That's the only problem. But what a talent he is. What a player.
That's the reason I glossed over Chris Wood as well, Sam, because he is a budget forward, but it feels like there's so much competition. Should we be looking at him at all?
Again, it goes back to exactly what Jules just said about Gibbs White, doesn't it? It's one of those players that is in great form, helps you enormously in terms of the budget if you want to have all of these expensive assets. But because we've had players like Muniz, because we've had like Gordon and Palmer and all of these nice cheap options in the middle, they aren't players that you necessarily look at. And again, without the double, you kind of rule them out. And I think we have to be really careful of doing this, because often we see the single game weekers outscore the double game weekers in a double game week. And we prioritise the doublers because we think, oh, well, they've got the potential for 180 minutes, which is, you know, you would think, oh, well, if they've got 180, they're more likely to get double the points of a single game weeker, but it often doesn't work out that way. So I've kind of neglected teams like Forest over the last few weeks. And maybe that's something that I should reconsider as I'm going forward.
Bournemouth versus Palace. Bournemouth defenders, the big winner really in this one in terms of FPL. Smith, Kelly, Neto and Zubiani all picking up bonus points as a result. I was very happy about Zubiani. There'll be a lot of managers, won't there, Sam, that still have Bournemouth defenders from when they had the fixture when loads of people didn't the other week. Are they worth a hold at this point, would you say?
Yeah, it's Luton up next as well. So a nice fixture coming up for them. Then there's a couple of more difficult fixtures in there with United and Villa. But I think probably, I very, very nearly kept Zubiani on wildcard. It was only at the last minute I decided to get Aitnori instead, because got the double in 34 and then, you know, had a couple of decent fixtures. So I think if you've still got them, you hold them for a couple more weeks and then you probably look to get rid after the double in 34.
Another reason for me to wildcard in game week 35. You spoke about Aitnori then. Both of you very happy with his returns. He was the headline from Burnley versus Wolves. He got two big chances and scored one of them. He did miss out on bonus points right at the end because he did miss that second big chance. But you must be really pleased with him, Jules.
Yeah, very good. I mean, he scored with his header as well, which is not usually his game. This is not, you know, what he does. But he's been good all season, to be fair. And yeah, at times Wolves, because it's Wolves, it's, no offense, but they're not like a top team. He will blank, or they will just not really show up in the game. But overall, I thought he's been great. Obviously, he plays as a wing back and quite an attacking one. He's very good technically. So it made sense, I think. And because he's quite cheap as well, it made sense for me and Sam and I to put him in a wildcard. I think a lot of people did like us as well. And we were rewarded with his return.
Anything you want to add, Sam?
No, he's great.
Please, can we keep that in the podcast? That was meant to be just like a little prompt so that Sam could just carry on from Jules. But no, he's
Sam
great.
Sam loves Parisians. You know, she loves Paris born and bred.
You've got in her head.
Yeah, okay.
Clearly.
Not too much else to say. Charlie Taylor got a whopping 2 points for me there. Charlie Taylor, of course, coming in for Heartland. West Ham versus Spurs. Now, Brennan Johnson, Sam, is someone that you have mentioned a few times. You've said he's one to watch. You've said he could return and he's doing it. But he's not on your team.
No. And it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think naturally everybody was, if you could afford it, you would have gone for Sun on wildcard. And I think I sat here a few weeks ago and we spoke about, you know, do you have Sun? Do you have Madison? Do you have Richarlison? Obviously, Richarlison's still being very much eased back in. But it's Brennan Johnson that's massively stealing the limelight at Spurs. And I think when you are talking about how you spread budget around your team and do you want to spend maybe the 10 plus million that you have to on Sun, then Brennan Johnson's a great option. It's 11 attacking returns now for him in the last 13 game weeks. And a lot of the time he's not even starting. Obviously he did get the start in midweek, was very impressive. I thought he was actually probably the best Spurs player on the pitch against West Ham. He was the one that was energetic. Did seem to come off at the end with a little bit of a limp going on, but Postecoglou didn't suggest that it was going to be too much of an issue. So I'm very pleased with Brennan Johnson as a Spurs fan and also as an FPL manager thinking, could I save myself nearly 5 million by swapping Sun for Johnson and then use the rest of that budget elsewhere?
11 attacking returns in the last 13 game weeks, 4 goals, 7 assists. Jules, are you tempted to look there if you're getting rid of Maddison?
Yeah, it's really good. And to be, and the, what I think I like the most is that whether he's a starter or a sub, it seems to still have an impact, which is obviously not easy to do, especially when you come on as a sub for 20 minutes, 25 minutes there and there. It's difficult. And yet it seems to always have the impact. It's a great goal that he scored against West Ham, Werner with a cutback, and his run is good. He's got pace. He's probably not as technically gifted as a Kulusevski, for example, who's gone really, really average right now. But he's got the pace. He clearly has the confidence now, great momentum going. And in a Spurs team that I don't think he's still functioning as great as we've seen earlier in the season, especially at the start of the season. Maddison is not at his best. Son is not at his best. Richarlison, certainly not. Kulusevski again. Even in midfield, like defensively, I don't think he's just clicking at the moment. Brendan Johnson really is the one that keeps this team where they are right now, which is pretty amazing at such a young age.
Of course, Sam, are you going to take that?
I agree with everything you just said, to be fair.
Again, that's okay.
It's
freaking me out now.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit odd, isn't it? Yeah, I think the Spurs performance wasn't great. West Ham defended so well against everything that we tried to do. And I think that is kind of the negative of the Spurs system, that if you can do what West Ham did, you kind of nullify the attack. And Son was definitely not on it. He tried to change things up by bringing Maddison off, putting Kulusevski in the 10. Richarlison came on, he pushed Son out wide. Things were a little bit better when Son went out wide, I thought. But yeah, Brennan Johnson, definitely the highlight. And I think it's more so the case of the defenders at the moment. So obviously with Son returning last week, I'm not really looking to sell him right now. But Udogie and Porro, they're very heavily owned. They will blank in 34. Yes, they're going to have doubles coming up, but the doubles are difficult, as we've talked about in the past. And I think, you know, when you look at Spurs defensively, one clean sheet in 13 is just not enough to warrant spending either 5 or 5.8 million on a defender, in my opinion, particularly when the attacking returns have massively dried up for both of them as well.
Yeah, and Jules, you went for the more expensive Porro, didn't you, on your wild card? You must be regretting that a bit.
Yeah, massively. I won't lie. Also, because if I'd gone for Udogie, for example, I could have gone to Son instead of Maddison. Mm. And then if I don't go to any Spurs defenders, there were a lot of really good options as well I could have brought into the wild card. So Porro hasn't worked out. He's going to go this, like, in between now and the weekend. But it's a shame because I don't really understand why their attacking return have dried up so much. Because, I mean, to be fair, Porro had a really good shot against West Ham. There was a good couple of crosses. So it's still there in good positions, better than Udogie, but it's just not happening. And at this time of the season in the game as well, you just have to make those decisions. And very likely, Porro is going to return at the weekend. Obviously, this is what happens all the time. So you can't be waiting for him to return because he might not return again until the end of the season.
Sam, West Ham versus Spurs. I can't just mention Spurs being a bit under par in attacking sense. I also have to remind you again that you sold Jarrod Bowen.
So yes, I did. But I remember I only had Jarrod Bowen on a free hit. So I didn't actually sell him.
Yeah, but it's funnier if I say you sold him.
All right. We'll go with that again. Yeah, he did. Another 5 points for his assist against Spurs. First back-to-back returns he's had since game week 26 and 27. So he seems to be doing like 2 returns, then a couple of blanks, then 2 returns again at the minute. He's good, isn't he, Jarrod Bowen? We know that. We know that he is a great FPL option. He regularly returns. I think the issue is that West Ham sit very low down on the fixture ticker because they don't double at all. And because actually within their next few weeks, they've got games against Liverpool, Chelsea and Man City to end the season. Now, the next three still look nice. They've got Wolves, Fulham and Crystal Palace. So I think for the next few weeks, if you've got Bowen, you probably stick there. But you have to kind of consider whether you want to invest, I guess, if you haven't already done so.
Okay, Arsenal versus Luton. The headline, the big concern for us FPL managers is Bukayo Saka wasn't in the squad. As you said, Jules, he wasn't rested. He was injured. Yeah. How long do you think we could be without Saka for?
I don't think it's a big one. He felt good and then had a little niggle where he felt during the game against City where he came off before the end of the game. So I don't think they wanted to take any risk at all because he was Luton. If it had been maybe a tougher game on paper, they would have try to get him fit for it. In that case, I don't think there was really a need for it. So he'd be back for the Brighton game on Saturday, I'm pretty sure. But it was still a shock, I think, to a lot of us when he was not even in the squads, not even on the bench, because despite obviously the worry that we all had, could he be rested? Could he play just a little bit? Do you start him and take him off at halftime if you're 2-0 up or whatever, or after an hour? There was no Saka at all. So it was a bit painful, but I just don't think that it was something to really worry about.
At Laurence Julien on X, if you want to tweet him when Saka is not in the squad at the weekend.
No, I can't have that. He has to be in the squad, man.
No, I know. There's many of us that are saying the same. The headline with Arsenal at the moment, aside from Saka, is the clean sheets defensively. What Mikel Arteta has done with them is remarkable. Are we now looking at a point where we have to have the Arsenal defensive double up, Sam?
That's probably my big regret on wildcard, that I didn't double up defensively with Arsenal. For ages, I had Raya in my goalkeeper and then changed my mind at the last minute, simply because I wanted to make sure that I didn't want the Arsenal double up in attack for double game week 34. And in my head, I was like, I don't want to have myself locked into a spot where I've gone with three already in case Arsenal starts scoring loads of goals and I want to go for an Ødegaard or I want to go for somebody else in those attacking positions. Now, on reflection after the last two matches, having had Raya or Gabriel or Ben White alongside Saliba would have been the right thing to do, I think. And we've just been speaking about how poor the Spurs defence have been in the last few weeks, or in the last 13 weeks. It makes a lot of sense to go Udogi to an Arsenal defender for the upcoming fixtures that they have. I don't think I'll be quite as hasty as Jules is going to be. I think I'll wait until after the Forest game this weekend and then
that's
move my Spurs
loyalty,
player on.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a home game against Forest. I'll probably give him one more.
We've just been talking about Chris Wood. He's going to wipe out that clean sheet.
Yeah. Almost certainly. And Morgan Gibbs White. Well. I know, yeah. Right? Almost certainly. But I'll probably give him one more and then swap him for an Arsenal defender, because the double up in the Arsenal defence just looks like a bit of a gift right now. They're relatively affordable. They're not hugely expensive, so it's not that difficult to get them in. And when you don't have two of them, it's killing rank at the moment. So when the Arsenal clean sheet stood last night, I was like, that's going to hurt, because I've only got one of them. So making sure you have two, I think, feels like the best way to double up with Arsenal.
Are we sleeping on Martin Odegaard, Jules? We're all obsessed with Bukayo Saka. We're all probably recognising we need two or three Arsenal players. Should we be bringing him in?
Yeah, it's a very good point, Kels. I think if there was a moment in the season where he was certainly not as good as he'd been last year, and we said that on the show, and I think that's when his ownership went down quite dramatically, if I remember. But now he's clearly back on top form. I mean, he's just an incredible player. He took that goal very well against Luton on the Kai Havertz assist. He was just there all the time. And yeah, when Saka is on the pitch and when Martinelli comes back to the starting lineup, then you share the ball a little bit more. But I still think that he's great value for money. And lately he's been on really, really good form. So I think for the Arsenal double, which is Wolves away and Chelsea at home, you have to treble up, I think. It makes sense. So it's just a matter of who do you go for your third Arsenal player? And like Sam said, you can go for a defender. Would be cheaper, of course. White, Gabriel, Saliba, Raya, whoever you want. Or go for Odegaard as well as Saka and Saliba as the other attacking option. But I think Havertz is going to be my differential. Mm. So I'll talk about him a bit later. Could be a decent option too. But other than, you know, really Odegaard is the outstanding one to go with Saka if you want two Arsenal attackers and if you have the money for it.
Yeah, he's the eighth highest scoring midfielder now. He got a goal and bonus points this week, meaning he's got seven double-digit hauls for the season. Only three players have more double digits. That's Saka, Son and Palmer. So definitely one to look at, particularly if you want a differential. Okay, Brentford versus Brighton. Sam, rattle through what you think the FPL headlines for this one are, because I feel like there's not too many managers really with as many Brentford and Brighton assets now.
No, Flecken is probably the only one that people are still heavily invested in. And again, that's probably the managers that haven't already hit the wildcard button. He obviously did really well last night, made six saves, kept a clean sheet, got his second double-digit haul of the campaign. I think he still looks like an okay option. The Brentford fixtures are still nice till the end of the season, even without a double game week in there. So obviously it's Villa up next, then Sheffield United, Luton, Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth, Newcastle. So there should be plenty of clean sheets in there if you want to stick with him. The other one probably is Tony. Mm. I think he's a more difficult hold because the form's not there. Even though the fixtures are nice and there should be goals for him, those three forward slots are so valuable and they're so important. And one's obviously automatically gone with Haaland, unless you're going bold and not having him. Most people will be looking at Darwin because he's got the double and it's a nice double for Liverpool in 34. So it's only really then one spot that you have left. And the conversation then is, well, how am I investing in that third forward? Am I going for a cheap option, which allows me to spend more budget in midfield? Am I going for a slightly more expensive option? And even if you're going for a slightly more expensive option, surely you'd go for Solanke or Mateta than you would for Tony right now, because they have the benefit of the double game week.
Yeah, so basically, as I said, not too much interest probably other than Flecken. City versus Villa, plenty more interest in both of these. It's all about Phil Foden. We could wax lyrical. Jules, you're making him your transfer in. If you have got rid of him on wildcard, if you don't have him, should he be a priority for this running? I saw a few people on social media last night saying he's one of the best players in the world right now, and it's hard to argue with that.
Yes, I agree. However, there's obviously a however. No, but it's true.
And we've said, what's your theory? You told me this at the beginning, actually. So tell us that.
That's the theory, is that if you look at his recent games, I mean, in between the two hat-tricks, which is pretty incredible, and I'm not taking anything away from Foden, who's been incredible. He's got 21 goals, 10 assists this season in all competition. It's just incredible. However, we've seen games where he's blanked when KDB has played and started with him, or Julian Alvarez has started with him, and Foden had played wide, like the Arsenal game, like the Liverpool game, the Everton game, the Brentford game, the 1-0 win, not the one he scored a hat-trick, the Chelsea game. There were even times where both Alvarez and De Bruyne have started with Foden, which meant that he played even more wide than when he's just one of the other two who are playing centrally. And I've said it many times on the show, I think, as long as you play him centrally, and of course he can return wide. He played against United, scored two goals. Okay, great. But as long as you play him wide, or the other way around, if you play him centrally, the Foden that we will get is the Foden from last night. It's the Foden that scores a hat-trick, that can play with so much freedom, so much impact on the game, so much influence. That's his best position. I mean, you love Gareth Southgate, Kelly, and it's not one for this podcast anyway. But Gareth Southgate one day saying that Phil Foden cannot play number 10.
Just because you just don't like him.
It blew my mind. It just blew my mind. Anyway, it's not one for now. But the problem is that Phil Foden might not play central ever again this season, because KDB will be there, because Julian Alvarez might be there too. Even Kovacic, we've seen Kovacic playing more centrally than Foden in some of the games that I mentioned. And that's my only worry. He's an amazing player and he can score from any position, of course. But every time he's blanked in the last 8 weeks was when he played wide. And yeah, he still had return and still scored two hat-tricks, the double against United. So I'm not saying that don't have him, because I probably will bring him back for the weekend. I'm just saying that it's definitely not the same Foden when he plays wide. And Rio Ferdinand on UK television asked him that question last night after the game. And he said, like, well, I don't have the same freedom. There's not as many things I can do when I play wide and when I play centrally. And my only worry, and none of us could have foreseen yesterday De Bruyne being on the bench and for them playing as a 10. And my only worry would be that if he plays wide between now and the end of the season, he would certainly not return as much as if he plays centrally between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, that's a very valid point, Jules. But as are his stats, 21 attacking returns for the season. It's his best ever campaign in FPL. He's already beaten the 18 he recorded last season. And in the form he's in, depending on where he plays on the pitch, he could get even more. Elsewhere, someone else, Jules, that you've been a fan of in the past, Rodri. But you haven't got him anymore.
No.
But a goal and assist for him again.
Great. I mean, what a season he's having. We can talk about Foden and the others, but really, he's the best. And he hasn't lost a single game for Manchester City in 64 now, 43 in the league. It's just an incredible stat when you think about it. What a player. I mean, the goal is good because he times his run well and it's a good finish, a good cross by Doku. I prefer the assist for Foden. Although, you know me, this is not really an assist because it's a sideway pass. But still, before that, the dribbling on the edge of the box, it's just, I don't think there's anything he cannot do. So again, we go back to the point that we made about Gibbs White, and we can make about a lot of midfielders in the league this season, in the sense that there's so many options, great options in midfield, that to go for Rodri outside of a double game week like I did before, the only reason I had him earlier in the season is because of a double game week. That was it. But sometimes I think he's more valuable than a lot of other midfielders that you can have in that fifth spot in your midfield.
Yeah, he is definitely an option, but I don't know, it just feels hard to bring him in. I'm not really sure why. Sam, as for Aston Villa, not too much to get excited about. Probably the headline here was the goalkeeper. And sorry to come to you on goalkeepers again.
Yeah, Martinez missed out through illness, which meant Olsen started. He was great, actually. He made six saves. Yeah, played really well. Would have been a lot worse for Villa had it not been for him. Villa struggled, didn't they? But then they were also without some of their big players. They didn't have Watkins up top. Obviously, they didn't have the goalkeeper. Still without McGinn as well. Yeah, it was a difficult night for Villa. I think if you've got Villa assets, you can continue to hold them, but no double either. So they're probably on the go list now.
Yeah, it does feel like that a bit for Villa. So Emi Martinez was ill. There's a lot of injuries in FPL as well, which means lots of flags for us. The likes of Watkins, Johnson, now joining the likes of Trippier, Alexander-Arnold and Lascelles. And they're popular players as well. It's not just fringe players that might affect our FPL assets. It means we're looking at our bench more. What do you do with those kind of players at this point in the season, Sam?
Well, you have to be really careful, don't you? Because like I learned this week, I thought I'd get away with it with Gordon sitting there with his red card suspension, Lascelles being out, Gusto not being fully fit, but actually not having a bench then when big players get rotated. And we did speak on last week's pod about how midweek fixtures, you do have the risk of some rotation. And we saw that with Haaland. So you just have to make sure that you've got some coverage there. And I think the good thing about this season is that we can afford to have cheaper options on the bench. There's plenty of good, cheap options that we've just talked about. So I think the key lesson is don't sit on your injured players. If they're injured and out for a while, do something about them because you might need them in the closing weeks of the season.
Yeah, particularly at this stage of the season when it feels like there is rotation, as we saw last night. There's European competition as well. You can't really just rely on your bench all the time, can you, Jules?
No, that's true. I mean, I really didn't think that I needed to do the Lascelles move or anything like that this week for the midweek games. And that was a mistake. So yeah, I think a lot of people would have been burned like Sam and I were. And it's a good lesson for the few weeks to come.
Also, you've got to bear in mind your bench boost as well, haven't you, Sam?
Yeah, if you've still got your bench boost chip, then you need to kind of consider that. I think for most people, you're probably looking to use it in 37. So you have got time to make sure that your bench is in the right place. But strengthening it now does make a lot of sense, particularly if it's full of flags.
Okay. Well, moving on to this weekend's fixtures. We've done a review, the best we can, of game week 31, but looking ahead to game week 32. FPL Challenge, if you are playing it, I've really enjoyed it so far. It's obviously something new to get to grips with, but a different challenge on there each week. It was double points for forwards this week. Thank goodness for Alexander Isak is all I'm saying. this weekend's challenge is called Red Rivalry, and points will be doubled for any player who plays for Liverpool and Manchester United. And this is actually really well timed because I think we'll all be looking to invest in these players for their double game week in 34. And Manchester United, in general, have quite a nice run of fixtures after the Liverpool game. Yeah. Let's start, though, with Liverpool. Triple up on Liverpool at this point, Jules?
In which fantasy game? The normal one or the challenge one?
Sorry, this is, going back to, I think definitely for challenge, because obviously there's slightly different rules in terms of the number of players you can have from each team, but bringing it back to FPL, would you, like your main team, your team that have been doing so well for this season, would you be trebling up?
Yeah, already. Already I've got Kelleher, Salah and Darwin. So it makes, for me, a lot of sense. And I've said that when I played the wild card to double them. They are in great form. They've got the double coming in 34. Not all the games are easy games, of course. We know that between now and the end of the season, but there are some pretty good fixtures there. And yeah, of course, there's a possibility that Klopp rotates there and there. I don't think the keeper will change until Alisson comes back. And then when he does come back, then we see where we are. But Kelleher has done well for them. It's more for Darwin and Salah, more Darwin than Salah. I think Salah is so fit in general that I don't think you rotate him much anywhere unless there's an injury. For Darwin, when Jota is back, you know, Gakpo is there. There's always a few options. Mm. But I also think that Darwin has proved so far almost indispensable for this Liverpool team anyway, for everything that he brings outside of the goals too. So I'm pretty confident that those three could play, certainly until Alisson comes back, until very far down in the season.
Yeah, it feels like we've got a nice option there with Kelleher at the moment, doesn't it, Sam?
It does, but I do worry about how much longer he'll be there as an option for. The same with Bradley when Trent comes back. Mm. Like, I think they're both great options for right now, but how long they stay good options maybe is a bit debatable. Virgil's probably the safest pick. If you go for Van Dijk at the back, you're probably most safe with him. I do think that there are some other differential options that you could go for in the midfield, though, with Liverpool. So obviously, Jules' differential from last week hasn't played yet in McAllister. You could go with him. There's Luis Diaz as well. Again, what Jules says just applies, because you've got the potential risk of rotation when everybody is back and when Jota comes back. I'd like to treble up on Liverpool. I'm struggling with how I'll do it for the double. I've got Salah and Darwin. Getting an extra one, I'll do it. But I'm not quite sure who it's going to be yet, because I find it hard to know for definite who is going to start across both of those double game week fixtures. Apart from Virgil van Dijk, he's the only one that I think of all of them is definitely guaranteed to get both of those starts. Maybe McAllister is in that bracket as well.
Just to confirm, in case I caused any confusion at the start of this chat, the double points only applies in FPL Challenge, so don't bring in Liverpool Manchester United players this week into your main FPL team. It is just in Challenge. And of course, with Challenge, it's a little bit different, because if you haven't started playing, it's even more, well, it's not even more fun, it's fun in a different way, because you can actually have five players from each team. So this week, you could have 10 players from Liverpool and Manchester United, and that's probably advisable, seeing as all of their players do get double points. Let's keep it with the main game, though, to avoid any further confusion. For your main FPL team, Sam, I brought in Garnacho the other week, mainly to enable me to bring in Salah. But any other Manchester United options that you would be looking to invest in?
Not this week, ahead of the Liverpool game. I think that's a difficult fixture for Man United. But after that, the fixtures are really nice. And then you've got Bournemouth, Sheffield United, Burnley, Crystal Palace, Arsenal and Brighton, as well as the double game week fixture to be slotted in. So I do really like Manchester United post the weekend's fixtures. I think Garnacho is a good one to have in play, Kel. He feels like a nice cheap option to have in the midfield. I am eyeing up a Darwin to Hoyland move, depending upon how Hoyland plays in the next couple. Nice. After the double, that kind of makes sense to me as well, because that feels like an opportunity to target both doubles with one player, or with one position on my pitch, rather. I think I wouldn't be going for a defender unless you want to go for Onana in goal. He's probably the only option of the defensive players that I'd look at.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree. Unless something happened with Marcus Rashford and the real Marcus Rashford comes back to earth and plays and does well, then maybe. Same with Bruno, by the way. The real Bruno comes back as well. Now he's a twin brother that has been not as good as we could expect this season. Apart from that, Sam is right. Garnacho, Hoyland, maybe Onana, and that's about it for what has been a very average Manchester United team for most of the season.
Okay, time for differential of the week. Sam, Harvey Barnes, you picked him. He returned, got 5 points. We still don't know how Jules' differential is going to do, because McAllister hasn't yet played against Sheffield United. Let's assume he got 0 points because Jules picked him. Who are we going for in 32? Jules, you've already actually revealed yours, Kai Havertz.
Yeah, I mean, I had another one. I had Morgan Gibbs-White too, who's only owned, by the way, by less than 2% of the managers, which is mad. Yeah.
Against Spurs, did you only do that to wind me up?
I mean, we know what's going to happen in that game already anyway, Sam, so I don't even need to wind
Madison's
you up.
Madison's going
to
return because Jules is selling him.
And Poro as well.
And Poro.
Yeah, obviously. I went for Kai Havertz. We talked about different options in attack for Arsenal, of course, with Bukayo Saka. He's returned in 5 of his last 6. The only game that he hasn't returned is obviously the 0-0 draw at City. He got 3 points, one for the for not conceding goal, but he's been on great form. 55 points in those six games that I just mentioned. He's only owned by 4.1% of the managers so far. 7.2 million, so it's expensive. I understand that. There's some cheaper, really good option as well in his position. But if you look even more at the stats, he touches the ball a lot per 90 in the opposition box. He has 0.5 XG, so expected goals and expected assists per 90 this season. So you're not guaranteed, but like one game every two games, he will at least have an assist or a goal. So he's been really, really reliable, especially lately. Maybe not so much at the start of the season, but you can tell that now he fits really, really well in this Arsenal team. And again, I don't think Arteta can drop him either. So even with Gabriel Jesus being fit again, or Trossard or the others who can play in the ninth position for Arsenal, I think it will be Havertz until the end of the season. So I think it's a decent differential.
Okay, I like that. Sam, who have you got? Was Kai Havertz on mortgage like one of your options?
She always says she has mine.
No, okay.
Neither of those two were on my list. I actually had four today because I wasn't sure which way that Jules was going to go with it. I'm going to go with Leon Bailey this time. So he's owned by 4.3% of the game, 5.6 million. He is top for expected assists across the Villa team so far this season. And actually, his numbers have been decent. So he's got 17 attacking returns in 17 starts. And I think Villa are going for a bit of a tough time, as we mentioned earlier on in the pod at the moment. They are not quite the team that they were, but the home fixtures tend to be the ones where they really excel. And I think a home fixture against Brentford, who have only kept three clean sheets on the road all season, is probably a game that Aston Villa will be looking to win and to get 3 points on the board, because that race for the fourth Champions League spot is definitely hotting up at the moment. So players like Leon Bailey are going to be important. Douglas Luiz is also a great option, but obviously he's owned a little bit more heavily. So Leon Bailey.
Okay, I like that. I also like that when we mentioned City and Villa, you gave nothing away, whereas Jules can never resist bringing up his differential earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
You really like hit us with one that we aren't expecting. So extra points for that as well. Captains. Now, usually this is like a 30-second bit at the end of the pod because we kind of say Haaland or Saka or someone. But this conversation just got a little bit more interesting. Now, Haaland is away at Palace, which is a nice fixture. And Joel, surely he's not going to get benched two games in a row.
No.
But are we going to be captaining him?
We can. Or you could look at Cole Palmer, where Sheffield United, for example, where now Mahamban is on. Because against Burnley, I was not brave enough to captain him and I paid for it. So I really like that. You could have Mo Salah against Manchester United. He always scores against Manchester United anyway. So you could go for Salah, even if it's at Old Trafford, in a game that you could easily see Liverpool going and doing well. There's Son at home to Forest for the Son owners, who I think makes a lot of sense too. So I think, again, far from the, it has to be Haaland like we had last season, for example, in pretty much every single game. Again, this weekend is very different.
Yeah, I really want to captain Palmer. My armband's on him as well because, Jules, you and I both said we weren't brave enough last weekend. But I think if I had Son, I'd be very tempted. Sam, is that where you're going?
No, mine's currently on Palmer as well. But Son is my vice and I am tempted to go there. I just think that the home fixture for Son is always a good one.
Yeah.
I guess the telling point is going to be what Palmer does on Thursday evening in the final games of game week 31. I think if he performs really well in the midweek fixture, then I'll probably leave it with him. Otherwise, I am tempted to move it to Son.
Okay, so a fair few options, which makes FPL so much more interesting at this stage of the season. Also, just a quick word, if you wanted to, potentially you could even go Isak. He's away at Fulham. Okay, yeah. Transfers. Jules, you are doing a mass Spurs exodus out of your team. Outrageous.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I have to move Mooney's for Solanke. That was always the plan. You know, you remember vision, planning, talent.
Oh, so maybe you aren't going to get rid of both Spurs players. Or are you going to take
minus
four?
Yeah, it would be only one of them. So I've got two free transfers. So either Maddison for Foden, very likely, or Poro to either another Arsenal defender, or maybe a Bournemouth defender. I like the idea of doubling up for Bournemouth before their double game week. So I will see. But certainly Mooney's for Solanke, that would be done. And then I see what I do with the other two. But like Sam said, I might keep Poro and move Maddison to Foden.
Sam?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, because I would really like to put this out I'd really like to sell Lascelles and make him an Arsenal defender, but I can't do that without taking a minus four because I don't quite have enough money. So I may roll and do it the week after, because now that Gordon's back from his suspension, I actually really like my team for this week and I'm struggling with who to bench as it is. Currently, I've still got Gordon against Fulham and Gusto against Sheffield United on the bench because I'm really struggling with how to play them. In fact, this week would be the perfect week for a bench boost if Lascelles was going to play.
Yeah.
But as he's not, it's a bit of a struggle. So I'm probably going to be boring and sensible and roll the transfer this week, knowing then that next week I can make an Arsenal defender out of Jamal Lascelles.
Cool, that's some magic trick, that. Lascelles into an Arsenal defender. Okay, we'll look forward to seeing if Jules actually does what he says he's going to do.
But yeah, I always do.
We'll give you a little bit of a caveat this week because, of course, we haven't seen the full fixtures from Game Week 31. So tonight could change our plans. So if you are listening to this on Friday morning and wondering why we aren't discussing Cole Palmer scoring 6 goals, that is why. We will be back with you next week. Off the Bench will also be back with you on Monday. It's Lee and Harry chatting through all the big talking points. The Fantasy Show will also be back with Ian on Friday. I'm also going to be back on that in a couple of weeks. I've decided I can start doing a few more early starts despite having no sleep. Your deadline this weekend is 11 a.m, 90 minutes ahead of Palace versus Manchester City. So do not miss that. And a reminder once again of the FPL Pod Mini League code. It's IB3 WLK. Best of luck for the weekend. Let's hope that by the time everyone's listening to this on Friday, we will have plenty of points from our assets in the games taking place tonight. Come on, Cole Palmer. Come on, Mo Salah. Bye-bye.